This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Letterpress printing, which uses movable type, was the everyday printing technique for centuries. And though it's time-consuming and labor-intensive, especially compared to digital print technologies, it is not only still in use today, it's making somewhat of a comeback. Pressing On, the letterpress film, is a feature-length documentary that explores letterpress printing and who and what has kept it alive. And joining us to talk about the film and the art and craft of letterpress are Pressing On producer and director Aaron Beckloff, a visiting instructor in graphic design at Miami University's College of Creative Arts, co-director Andrew Quinn, producer Kevin Grazioli with Bayonet Media, and Dave Churchman, a hobby printer and collector. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Glad you could be here.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thanks.
Aaron, describe letterpress. What exactly is letterpress?
Letterpress printing was the primary form and only form of printing for about 500 years. So you took individual characters, individual metal letters, and set them one at a time in a form. And then each print was made on a historic printing press, one color at a time.
This sounds like it's really, really intricate and might even get a little messy at times. Is that the case?
Yeah, it's a very tedious process. You have to really, really love it to want to sit there and set type. But it's something that some of us just really connect with.
Well, how did you get started with letterpress? How did you get hooked on this?
I was given a small printing press as a wedding gift from my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Yeah, stepfather-in-law. So that was what got me started, was my first press. And now I have about six of them. And it's something that's very addicting. The presses and type just keep appearing in your home suddenly as you become interested in this. Dave can attest to that too.
Dave, tell us, give us an example. How did you get hooked on this whole thing?
I got hooked in grade school. We had to take metal shop, wood shop, and print shop. And I didn't know letterpress printing from a grilled cheese sandwich. And I got fascinated with the process. And I think my parents suddenly woke up to the fact that there was a smidgen of an iota of intellectual curiosity here that had finally blossomed or budding. I don't think it blossomed. It budded. And my folks gave me a little toy cast iron printing press when I was 1946, I think it was, 12 years old. So that's what got me started, and over time, thoroughly hooked.
So it was a little toy printing press to start. What's the printing press become like now, Dave? How advanced is that for you?
Well, the one I got in 1946, it would barely do a business card. The one I have now is not a lot bigger. It'll print a theoretical image size about 5x7, I guess. So it's adequate. I'm not in this for high volume.
Hey, Kevin, what is the history of letterpress? I mean, this is something that dates back centuries and centuries, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I mean, letterpress was really the first form of mass communication. It was the first way that we were able to take and make a copy of something and to distribute that along the masses to really get the word out. Newspapers, you know, every single letter was individually picked and put on a chase and then pressed and then one and then two. And that was really how we started to communicate. And that was how you could spread a message across the entire world at that same time. I think it's evolved. You know, now we are able to send something out on a printer. We're able to do something on a Photoshop. You know, so we're trying to figure out why are we going back to letterpress? Why is letterpress thriving? You know, we clearly have a lot, you know, better ways of printing right now. It's a lot easier to type something up on the printer and just, or on the computer and just send it out. You know, so we're trying to figure out, why is this craft thriving? You know, why are people like Dave, you know, why are they still printing? You know, what drives them to that?
Aaron, there's been some pretty famous documents through history that have been printed by letterpress, haven't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all documents would have been printed that way. We have the Declaration of Independence was typeset before that one that we all know with all the signatures was created. A broadside was printed that night. I can't imagine being at that press check with Thomas Jefferson and everybody standing around you waiting for you to print this document. But it's something that happened. And one of the characters that's going to be in the film actually recast all the type just the same way that that Declaration of Independence Dunlap broadside was printed and set the type and made a facsimile of that same print. You'll also, people would recognize show posters. So you might see those show posters on poles in a city and advertising for the upcoming show. Hat Show Print did Elvis posters and all those okay. back in the day. So yeah, everything was every form of communication, advertisement, circus posters, everything was printed with letterpress.
Andrew, can you talk about why all of you decided you wanted to get into doing this documentary about letterpress printing?
Yeah, so for me, it's just I have a strong interest in communication technology. I mean, filmmaking is a part of that. And just like personally, I really like just mechanical things, and all of this equipment is very, very mechanical. It's beautiful to shoot. And it's just really interesting to me, you know, from an outsider, that you just, you take this machine and then it spits out a piece of art. Like, to me, that's really cool. And then in addition to that, just like all the characters that we're meeting, people like Dave Churchman, just who have a passion about this thing that I had no idea even really existed.
There is a visual and an audio.
Yes, there
impact
is.
Of this, isn't there? I mean, it's great pictures. It's great sound, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's something about when you're letterpress printing, it's a full experience. So you're listening to the press to make sure you have the right amount of ink on it. It kind of sounds like sizzling bacon on one of the presses when you have that right amount of viscosity. And then you're listening to make sure all the clunks and chinks of the press are right, and it becomes very rhythmic and you become a part of it. And so there's actually on our letterpressfilm.com website, it included is a audio, we're collecting audio clips of the different presses so that you can experience that. That was something Andrew did, which I just think is phenomenal because it is audio and visual and tactile and all of those. So,
David, Aaron had an interesting description. You've been doing this longer than anybody else. Sizzling bacon, is that right?
Well, yeah, it's the ink is very tacky. It is not runny. Newspaper ink is liquid, but printing ink, as we know it for letterpress, is very tacky, and it hisses. I mean, she says sizzling bacon. To me, it's a hiss. And if it hisses too loudly, you got too much ink on there, and you're going to, you know, not have good results. But if it's just right, you know the sound.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Michael at Findlay Market. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Somebody just mentioned Dave Churchman. That threw me back a long time. I think I bought my first Washington hand press in maybe 1976 or 77, and have owned everything from a Washington hand press to a Mealy Vertical and a lot of presses in between. I don't do letterpress any longer, but in listening, one of the guests was talking about why should we continue to do this. There are better ways and perhaps faster and so on. There's so much physicality involved in printing, regardless of methods. And but there's also so much tactile, and we're talking about sound of ink, adjusting the sound of ink by adding wax or additives if you need to. But also things like the bite of type into paper. I was co-founder of Terrapin Paper Mill back in the 70s, and we made paper for letterpress work. And, you know, you design paper for purposes, and you design, and typesetting works with different formats. But it's real interesting. There's going to be a continual, it's not really a revival. It's going to be a continuation of this. I owned an entire monotype foundry at one time. And you talk about sound, listening to sound, the clackety clack of, and the guy that taught me how to run monotype literally could run 5 monotype, composition machines at one time by listening to the sound of the machine. The keyboarders that would, create the tape that would create each individual character as it was being cast would keyboard blank spaces in towards the end of a page so he could audibly hear the end of a page coming up and move to that machine and get ready to move that galley of type out, put a new galley in place, and move to the next machine. And so there's just a tremendous amount of physical and a lot of knowledge that goes into it, and it's been passed along obviously since Gutenberg, and I think it'll continue. But I'll be interested in hearing.
Aaron?
Yeah, that's exactly your story and your connection to this is exactly why we wanted to do the film. There's so many people who have a connection with printing. Almost everybody has done it or has an uncle who has or a grandfather who has. And now more people are taking on that same craft and want to be a part of it. And we're going to be featuring a monotype expert who wrote a book on it, Rich Hopkins. So people will be able to see that process. People that would maybe never have gotten to see it otherwise are going to have the opportunity to see how letterpress printing, how typecasting is done and was done historically.
David, it sounds like from what he was describing, this is a real skill, isn't it?
It is. It's fairly a simple, easy technology if you're trying to teach someone who is interested but knows essentially nothing to teach them how to print, how to set type, how to lock up the type in a chase, ink up the press, put the chase in the press, and get it done. But the background, the making of the type, the fabrication of the machinery, extremely technical, and it hadn't disappeared, but it was skating on thin ice until the internet came along.
Kevin, as you've worked on this project, has there been anything that surprised you that you've learned about letterpress?
Oh, there's been so many things that, you know, I think we've all just found a new sense of awe and respect, you know, for the way that things used to be and the way that the processes that people would take. But I think the biggest thing and the biggest surprise is that your neighbor could be a letterpress printer. You never know what's lurking in the basement of someone. And anyone that's seen the video online knows, and you know, if you've seen Dave's basement, there are just a million. There are a million little fun items down there. But it's really that sense of discovery. I mean, we're going to be traveling the country and just talking to letterpress printers that they either started as a hobby or someone, you know, just got that little niche and now they've expanded it. I mean, Erin is teaching it now. And she's very young. So it's just been very surprising to me that we can still be making these discoveries and that, you know, people my age and our younger generation can kind of go back and really kind of grasp that historical glance at it, and really kind of unearth that almost.
Almost feels like you're on an archaeological expedition a little bit, Aaron.
Yeah, that's how Dave described it during his interview. That's so true. It is. You're discovering the history, and that's what is so neat about it. It's what Andrew said, and what a lot of us say is it's different than a lot of hobbies or professions you take up because you're using these artifacts to make something new. And I think that's what's really appealing to the younger generation that's taking this on is they can sit at a computer all day and make something in InDesign or Illustrator, but to actually physically set type was something that was made 100 years ago on a printing press that might be just that old. There's a satisfaction and an enjoyment to it that I just see as a lot different than people that are doing all their work on the computer all day.
Andrew, what's it been like for you so far working on this project?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, personally, I've been looking to do like a feature-length documentary for some time. I didn't think that it was going to come along for 5 years or so. But it's been very enjoyable, you know, meeting these people and just the, like, these subcultures in our world. There's so many subcultures, and the one that surrounds letterpress is very strong. We were talking before we started interviewing about, Churchman and all the people that he knows, and people are calling him up, and he's just become like a sort of pinpoint for people to come off of and connect people. And it's like, it's sort of got this like grassroots thing about it, and a very like old school. It operates a lot slower than the internet. And to me, it's been very enjoyable.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Richard at UC. Hi, Richard.
Hi there. I'm a German professor at UC and of course know all about Gutenberg and the explosion of information in the late 15th century and thereafter. But what I wanted to comment on is that I'm working with a letterpress printer in Lexington, Kentucky, Arthur Graham, on several projects, bilingual projects, German, and I do the translations into English, and he sets it in German and English. And I just want to say it's an incredibly fascinating and exhilarating experience to work with this gentleman who used to sing for the Metropolitan Opera and is now in his older age doing letterpress printing as an avocation. He does beautiful work as far as I'm concerned. Just a little thank you to all letterpress printers out there.
Oh, that's great.
Thank
I don't
you,
think
Richard.
I've seen a letter I don't think I've seen a letterpress printer not do beautiful work.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Andrew, anything that's surprised you so far as you've been going through this? I think we asked Kevin about that earlier. What have been your takeaways?
I think maybe just seeing how people, the amount of work that goes into the, like, to make a document. And I think all the time about the process of printing a book, like, letterpress printing a book with 500 pages, and someone has to sit, and technicians, you know, and line up all this type. To me, is it's just incredible that that's how it worked, and that people would put so much effort into communicating an idea. I think today it's really easy for us, like, you just shoot off a text, and now we don't really write letters. You don't sit down and handwrite a letter, and there's this group of people who are still like taking the time, they're lining all this stuff up physically, and if something's wrong, they have to take it apart, put it back together, just because they want to tell you something, anything. And to me, it's like really heartwarming that people are still communicating in that way, a way that my generation really doesn't do, you know.
Aaron, we know Dave is one of the subjects of the documentary, and you mentioned somebody else earlier. Who are some of the other people that are going to be in this?
Yeah, so actually a lot of the people that are in the film are individuals who helped get me started. Dave Churchman is who got me into the Amalgamated Printers Association. Actually, everyone in the film is in the APA, which is an organization. And we're also going to have Stan Nelson, formerly of the Smithsonian, who makes hand molds and cast type, just like Gutenberg did with one ladle of type metal at a time. And we're going to have Rich Hopkins of the Monotype, who does monotype casting. Greg Walters is from Piqua, Ohio. He's going to be casting very large characters, 144 point, which is the largest you can make in metal. They weigh about a pound a letter. And we're going to have Paul Aiken of the Platen Press Museum, which is north of Chicago. We also are going to go to moving into the newer generation that's taking this on. Jen Farrell from Starshape Press is a very talented letterpress printer in Chicago. We'll be going down to Hat Show Print. We're going to be going to Hamilton Woodtype and Printing Museum. So very excited to involve a lot of the museums and individuals who are preserving this history.
So there is a younger generation coming up on this.
Yes, there is. It's growing and continuing to. Dave could talk a little bit more about what it's been like having all these, a lot of young women kind of coming into his shop and being like, I need a printing press, and what's how that's evolved. It's kind of interesting how it's shifted into a female-dominated craft, but I'm proud to be a part of that myself. So yeah.
What is that like, Dave?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that I had to take up letterpress printing in order to get women in my warehouse. That was modus operandi. But a lot of, and it is particularly centered in the female category, and that is that I think they go to school and they go to an art school or art and design or whatever, but they end up, as they self-describe themselves, as graphic artists, which is fine. And then they sit in front of a CRT and look at that tube all day, and they get, a lot of them do anyway, blessedly, and they get kind of bored or sleepy or something, and they think, boy, there's got to be something else here, a third dimension. And they discover letterpress, which isn't hard to do nowadays, and eventually a few do wander into my shop and kick tires, and as my friend used to call it, they graze in my warehouse. So we're happy to have them, and we have even done some teaching in our basement of folks that they want to do this, but they don't really know how to go about it. So we take them down and ink up the pearl and get everybody nice and inky and maybe turn out a few envelopes or some quickie, easy job to start with. And so get them kicked off, you know, launched.
Is the inky mess part of the pleasure of doing all this, Dave?
No. It's fine to ink a press, and I don't know. I have never talked to a letterpress printer, or maybe, and I do call on some print shops here in town. I've never talked to a letterpress printer who enjoyed cleaning a press. It doesn't take long. In my case, 5 or 10 minutes, and it's clean, and you may print for an hour, 2 hours. And so a 5 or 10 minute cleanup seems like a small price to pay for this privilege of being involved in letterpress. But to a man, to a lady, we all hate and despise cleaning presses. So, and I hope I haven't put some onus on poor Erin here. She may feel differently, but it's not fun. It's dirty and messy, and you end up with more on you than on the newsprint and the rags and the solvent that you're using to clean it.
So, and yet there's something
I would gladly give that up.
Yet there's something that's intriguing about it, though, isn't there?
Well, there is. It's a very it's the best hobby in the world. I've collected, you know, sort of half-baked coins, stamps, been involved in a lot of different hobbies, photography for a while. But letterpress is supremely, you know, it's heads and shoulders above any of the rest of them, because you can create things with historically interesting objects. You can use things that are genuine antiques, 100 years old or older, and create a useful product. Tell me a hobby where so you collect pennies. So what, you know? But if you've got a letterpress, you can go down and play in your basement or your garage or your studio and turn out neat stuff to you, maybe not to others, and print scratch pads for relatives who may be undeserving and may be unwilling to accept. But you can do stuff, create an object, and have fun doing it.
Andrew, we've got about 30 seconds left here. Can you give me your opinion as to why you think letterpress survives to this day?
Yeah, I think from some of the things we were just talking about with the younger generations, I mean, like myself as a filmmaker, you're creating. That's what I like about it. You're using technology to create something. And graphic designers today, they create something, but you don't put on an apron and get your hands dirty when you sit at a keyboard, right? So everyone, you know, in art class when you're a little kid, that was kind of the fun of it. Even though it's not fun to clean up at the end, getting dirty is a lot of fun, right? So I think maybe that's, again, part of it, the tactility and everything. You can just get your hands on and make something beautiful.
Erin, Kevin, Dave, and Andrew, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
Pressing On producer and director Erin Beckloff, a visiting instructor in graphic design at Miami University's College of Creative Arts, producer Kevin Grazioli with Bayonet Media, Andrew Quinn, one of the co-directors, and Dave Chapman, who's a hobby printer and collector.